Today we're going to be looking at why are the hypocrites in God's church? And we're going to start off today reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. So if you'll stand, we'll give honor to the Lord as we read his word together today. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Heavenly Father, give us the instruction we need, that we're not spinning our wheels as hypocrites, not walking in fellowship with you, not being rewarded by you. We may have all kinds of people praising us for the people we are, but we're not pleasing you. Father, work in our hearts that we might know that we're walking in integrity of heart with you. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. A pastor said, and this actually did happen, a pastor invited someone to the church he was at, and the man looked at the pastor and he said, "There's no way I'm coming to that church." And the pastor said, "Why not?" He said, "Because there's so many hypocrites in your church." Folks, there are too many hypocrites in every church. But I'm going to tell you, Bible-preaching churches, 90 to 95% of the people are not hypocrites. They're occasional sinners, and we'll get into that in a minute. There's a huge difference. A hypocrite just keeps right on going, knowing that he's not walking with God, but wanting people to think that he or she is. And so we're going to look at it. The Bible, we very rarely see our Lord really get fired up. But one thing that fired our Lord up, one thing that would get the vein on the side of his neck pumped up pretty big, was hypocrisy. Of course, there was no church in our Lord Jesus' day, but there was the synagogue. The synagogue is where the Jewish people went to worship. And seven times, Jesus said to the Pharisees who were hypocrites, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." I want to read those real quickly. Verse 13 of Matthew 23 says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. 7 different times, Jesus got hot with the hypocritical Pharisees. They claimed to be keeping the law, and outwardly they were, but inwardly they were not. There's a huge difference between the two. What was it about those hypocrites that really set the Lord off? In Matthew 23:3, we get an idea of what it was. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Folks, I've been around people that didn't practice what they preached. It's pretty hard to follow them when you know obviously they're not doing what they're telling you you ought to be doing. If you ought to be doing it, the one telling you certainly ought to be at least trying to do it. And the Pharisees were not. That got Jesus hot. In verse 5 of Matthew 23, Jesus said about the Pharisees, "Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their practices wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others." Folks, they don't practice what they teach. They do everything that they do to be seen by others to get the praise of men. Jesus said these Pharisaical hypocrites talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Folks, that's a pretty good description of what hypocrisy really is. Hypocrisy is when your public persona doesn't match your private reality. You're telling people about the sins of lustful behavior, and as soon as all the lights are out and the kids are in bed and mom's off sleeping, you're on the internet looking at pornography. That's what he's talking about. And not just one time. This is a continual part of your life. You preach against the sins of men, but you're practicing them on a regular basis. When your personal life doesn't match what you're preaching, you are a hypocrite. Now again, all of us fall short. We're not pointing the finger at anybody else, because when I point my finger at you, I got 3 coming back to me. Okay, we're very careful with that. We all sin, but we don't all live as hypocrites. One skeptic wrote, "A Christian is the man who feels repentance on Sunday for what they did on Saturday, and they're going to do it again on Monday." Folks, if you're constantly repeating the same pattern over and over and over and over, but you're telling others they shouldn't, then you have to point the finger at yourself and say, "Yes, it's me that he's talking about today." I don't think most of us are in that situation, but maybe you're here today, and maybe that is your situation. There's something you can do to change it, and it's called repentance. We're going to talk about repentance several times today. Repentance is something, there's a worldly repentance that leads to death, and then there's a godly repentance that leads to life. And we're going to look at the difference. Personal gain and notoriety and pretending to be something that you're not is hypocrisy. The word that Jesus used for hypocrites in this passage was a commonly used Greek word. 2,000 years ago, people didn't have Netflix on their TV. If they wanted to be entertained, they went to what was called the theater. Theater was like you'd go down to in Saginaw, they have places where actors put on a play. That's what it was. The word hypocrite was meant to be an actor. In those days, one man or one woman might do the entire play, and they would wear masks. They would have different big masks that they would put on their face. If they were really sad, they would have a mask that looked really sad. If they were really happy in the play, they'd have a big smiley face, and it would not be what they were inside. They were acting out a part. And that's what the Lord says. Many people who claim to be Christian, many people who claim to be godly, are only acting for the crowd. And when they get in private, they're not concerned at all about what their Heavenly Father thinks about the way they're living. That's a hypocrite. It's an actor. Nothing has changed in the heart. It's just a show we put on for others. And many Pharisees were in exactly that situation. Interesting thing, the word hypocrite is used 17 different times in the New Testament. And every single time of those 17 times, it's Jesus, our Lord, that used that word. Nobody else in the New Testament used the word hypocrite except for our Lord Jesus Christ. This was very, very important to him. So we're going to talk about three different things today. Number one, true Christ followers must live a holy life. I didn't say a perfect life because none of us can do that. But we must live holy lives, lives that are set aside for God's glory. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. We serve a holy God. He has no sin in his life at all. And he wants us to pursue him by living the same way. I can't achieve all that. I'm never going to be perfect. But I can grow in my faith, and every year that I live, I can be less living in sin. And so can you. Perfection? No, we're not going to make it this side of glory. But we can live lives in secret that are the same way we're telling our families and friends that we're trying to live when we're in public. And if those two don't match up, something is very seriously wrong. Many people that are claiming to be Christians are hypocrites. And you have to understand that. And you have to understand you don't want to be one of those people. Some of you know Lee Strobel. He was an atheist, and he went from being an atheist to being a Christian. When asked why he was an atheist, he responded, "The people that went to the church I used to go to did not live what they said they were living. It was all a show." Folks, I hope you understand that's not the way we want to be. We want it to be real. We want it to be living in secret just like we're living in public. You should be more concerned about what God thinks about what you're doing in private than you are about what other people think about you for what you do in public. Because in the end, nobody's going to judge you but God. And when you stand before God, you better have lived a pretty holy life. Because that's what you're going to be judged on. Not as far as heaven. As far as heaven, you're going to be judged on the fact, have I personally received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? But as far as rewards, eternal rewards in heaven, you're going to be judged on what your character was. Did Jerry serve me because he loved me? Was Jerry the same in private as he was in public? If they don't match up, something's wrong and you're going to lose a lot of reward. We read three times. They've already received their reward because they got the praise of people, and that's what they were most concerned with. When we look at the teachings of Jesus, he always emphasizes our private life should match our public life. In Matthew 6:3, he said, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Folks, there was a church in St. Charles, this is years ago. I doubt they still do the same thing, but years ago, on the back bulletin board, they used to post by name who gave what. Folks, you don't want to do that. I don't want anybody knowing. Now, I know our treasurer knows and our assistant treasurer, they probably know because they see the check. But they're informed, don't tell anybody what anybody else gives. It's nobody's business. That's between you and the Lord alone. Your giving should never be for the praise of men. Your giving should always be for the praise of God. We don't want, I can't tell you how embarrassing that must have been for people at that church that didn't have much money. The rich people got all the praise. Oh man, I see you gave $1,000 last. You gave 50 cents? Come on. Folks, that's not what God wants. God wants us to do in private what we think God would have us do. In Matthew 6:6, he says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Matthew 6, verse 17. "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He's telling us if you're doing your good deeds for the praise of men, and men and women praise you for all the good things they see you're doing, you just lost your reward. Now, when people come up to me after service and they say, "Well, good job, Pastor," I don't say, "Oh, don't do that." I say, "Well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord." There's nothing wrong with somebody saying, "You sang well, you did this well." Nothing wrong with that. But if you're doing it only for that reason, and people say to you, "Good job, great job," you've got everything you wanted. God's not going to reward you. So be careful with this. He's not telling us we don't pray in public. We do pray. We have a prayer meeting here on Wednesday nights. We have a revival prayer meeting on Tuesday morning for the men. We pray out loud. But we don't do it for the praise of men. We do it so that we can pray together for a united effort. If you, nobody here prays well enough to get much applause from men, but we do pray, and we're grateful for that. But it's on to the Lord. Christianity does not begin with doing. It begins with being. There are a lot of people that are trying to please God by what they're doing. It won't work, folks. If you're not right in your heart with God, if you haven't been born again, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you won't ever see the kingdom of God. It starts with being. Being in right relationship with our Lord. So Jesus tells us, be holy in your private life. Be careful with that. Number two, he says, be humble in your public life. We all have a private life. We all have a public life. In Matthew 6:1, he says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. When we talked about being seen by others, that word also, seen, comes from the acting days back when Jesus was on this earth. It's the word theater, and it means something to be stared at. When you do your righteous work so that others will stare at you and say, "Wow, what a woman, what a guy," you've got your full reward. But when you do your good deeds for the Lord in secret, and it's all about pleasing your Heavenly Father and about honoring Him and blessing others, you're not going to get much praise from people because they don't know what you're doing. But God does, and He'll reward you someday for that. Our Lord Jesus talked about the Pharisees again in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 42. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Him. In other words, the Jewish leaders began to believe in Jesus Christ that He was the Messiah. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. How many people, in order to keep mom and dad happy, even after they're mature adults, in order to keep Uncle Sam happy, won't stand up for Christ because they believe something different now as an adult than mom and dad did, than Uncle Harry did? Folks, when you become an adult and you have faith in Christ, you've got to stand up and say sometimes, that's not what I believe. If you love the praise of men, it doesn't matter if it's your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, it doesn't matter. If you're more concerned what they think than what your Father in heaven thinks, you're going to miss the mark. You're not going to get praise from God. You may get all kinds of praise from people. Oh, yeah, Jerry, he just keeps right on doing just like we've always done in a family. Well, suppose your family did things that weren't so good, and you don't ever change your ways because I don't want to upset them. When I grew up in a nice family, but it was a gambling family. I mean, they gambled about everything. And the gambling in the family caused more arguments and more fights than you can even imagine. And it was over 25 cents or 50 cents. It was ridiculous, but a lot of fights. And when I became a Christian, I said, guess what? I'm done gambling. Man, my family went wild. Whoa, how are we going to get together? What are we going to do? I said, well, we'll get together and we'll do good things, but I'm not gambling anymore. It created a problem in the family. But you have to stand up for what you've come to believe. If your family was heavy in alcohol and you get saved, and I'm not telling you alcohol use is sinful because the Bible talks about a little, but suppose your family was really involved in alcohol and really getting drunk and causing trouble. And you get saved. You really get saved. And you say, I'm not doing that anymore. You can go down a whole list of things that families have done, maybe even religious beliefs. Maybe your family was of a different persuasion as far as how to follow the Lord than you've come to realize now should be according to the Bible. And you have to say, I can't go to the church that you went to and grandpa and grandma went to and a great grandpa and grandma went to because I don't agree with that way of studying and looking at the Bible any longer. Folks, it will create problems. But you've got to stand up for what you believe. These people Jesus is talking about really believed He's the Messiah, but they wouldn't confess Him before men because why? Well, they might put me out of the synagogue. They might not like me anymore. Jesus said, if you put people above Him, you're missing the mark. He didn't say you'll be lost, but you're not pleasing to Him. He has to be first in your life. Hypocrites, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And Jesus gets very clear and practical in this. The Jewish faith had three primary ways of showing their allegiance to the Lord. It was through giving and praying and fasting. Those were the three primary ways that they could serve the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with giving and praying and fasting. We still should be doing all three of those things, but He does not want us to do it for the praise of men. He wants us to do our giving, our praying, and our fasting as unto Him. And what He sees us doing in private, one day He's going to reward publicly. He tells us when you give with the wrong heart, if you give to get your name put on a board someplace, last year so-and-so gave so much, you've got your reward. But if you're giving on to the Lord, just between you and Him, it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm not in competition with Donald Trump, who's a billionaire. I can't give anywhere near what he could give. But we're not on a scale with the Lord. It's not me against Donald Trump or comparing myself with Bill Gates. It's me just compared to myself. What am I giving according to what God has given me? We're not in competition with anybody. All our Lord wants us to do is give out of our heart what we think, according to His Word, we ought to be giving. And when you do that privately, God will reward you openly. When you fast, I see people all the time tell me, oh man, I've been on a 4-day fast. Oh, I'm so hungry. I just feel so weak. Folks, you're not supposed to tell anybody. That's between you and God. As soon as you start to talk about it, you're losing your reward. Now, there are times you should say, you know, the Bible does teach about fasting, and I think everybody should, and I have, and you just leave it there. That's fine. But when you want everybody to know the high price you're paying for God to move in this earth, you're missing the boat. Your fasting is between you and your God. Same way with your giving. If you're fasting for the attention of men, you might as well forget it, and on your way home, buy yourself a pizza and a gallon of ice cream and enjoy it, because it won't do you any good to fast in that way. We're to be holy in our private life. We're to be humble in our public life, and we're to be honorable in our personal life. This is where it really gets close to home. It's when nobody else is there. It's just you. How are you living then? As a Christian, we have to understand that non-believers don't read their Bibles. Before I was a Christian, at the age of 25, I did try to read the Bible several times, but it always seemed like it was worms all twisted together, and I couldn't figure out what's the message. When I received Christ, those worms straightened out, and it was amazing how clear it was. But when people can't read their Bible and get an understanding because the natural man or woman doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible says they're foolishness to them, neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned, and they don't have the Spirit yet. That was my case. Prior to 25, I did not have the Spirit of God in me, and I couldn't understand His Word. So what happens here is, if you're the real deal, if you really have committed to walk this life with Jesus Christ as a disciple of His, it should affect your private life. If it doesn't, if you're still doing the same sins you did before you received Christ as Savior, and you're 20 years in Christ now, and you're still in private doing all kinds of things you know are wrong, my friend, you're a hypocrite. It should affect your private life, because it's not private. You know, and God knows. Maybe nobody else knows, but you know, and you know it's not right. How can you tell if someone's the real deal? Jesus told us in Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you'll recognize them. If you have a living relationship with God, if Jesus Christ is in your heart, it's going to affect your private life. And when I say private life, I'm not talking about your family life with your wife and your children. I'm talking about your life when nobody else is around. Nobody else is going to see. That's when it really tells. In Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus said, you'll be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus did not say there, people are going to hate me because of how you live. He said, because of who God is and you have placed your faith in him, they're going to hate you. But it's not because of what you've done. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. So notice, we have to be very careful with this. Some of you, especially recently in the last 4 or 5 weeks, are getting more and more familiar with the Secret Service. And it's mostly because of failures right now. But Secret Service was not originally started, whether you know this or not, to protect the president. The Secret Service was originally established in 1860s, back in Civil War times. And the Secret Service was put into existence to stop the counterfeiting of money. There was a lot of counterfeiting going on at that time, and there still is today, not as much as then. But they trained these Secret Service men 10 to 12 hours a day. They would be looking at money that was real money. They'd be looking at $20 bills and $5 bills and so on. They never studied the fake. They always studied the real in order to know the counterfeit. Because once you know the real, it's easy to tell what's counterfeit. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, something we all have in common, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you're sitting here today and you said, I never sinned, the Bible says you're a liar. So I'm going to take the Bible's word for it. You are a sinner just like I'm a sinner. We're not talking yet about being perfect. We're talking about the idea of living in sin. We all have moments of sin. I hope you understand that. We're not telling you you got to be perfect, not to be a hypocrite. But when God sends conviction into your heart, and he says if you're a son or daughter of God, when you sin, he will convict you of that sin. He won't let it go. When that conviction comes, if there's no repentance, that sin is going to grow. And that sin is going to take control. And you're going to be living in gross sin, trying to hide the fact. That's when you know you're a hypocrite. That's when you get the opportunity to make things right. That's when repentance ought to be coming into your heart, and it ought to be lived out by honest repentance of heart. Lord, what I have been doing is sinful. I know that. You know that. Maybe nobody else knows what I'm doing, but I know it's wrong. And Lord, today I want to repent of that. I confess it's been wrong, maybe wrong for years. I don't want to live that way anymore. Lord, rescue me from myself. He'll change your heart. You won't have to keep on putting on a show. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, no one who's born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. If you can continue in private to do things that you're telling others are wrong, that you know in your heart is wrong, you have not been born again. You are a hypocrite, and you have to admit it. You have to come to terms with that, because many people will not admit it. Nobody knows about it, so it doesn't matter. God knows about it, and it does matter, because it's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect others around you. Personal sin cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden from God, and it's going to be revealed to others. Folks, this is a dangerous thing, and a lot of people are living a double life standard. Our Lord wants us to know that there are hypocrites in every church, but not the majority. Why do people counterfeit $20 bills and not $30 bills? Because there are no $30 bills. The fact that somebody copies a $20 bill and makes a fake of it is proof that there is the real deal. Money has value. so people try to copy it. Christians have value, and people try to pretend that they are. What I want to encourage you is, if you feel like maybe you're a hypocrite a little bit, keep coming to church. I pray our church will be full of people that think they're a little bit hypocritical, because you're going to hear the truth over and over and over. You'll have a chance to change your ways. If you feel like a hypocrite, don't stay out of a good Bible preaching church. Get into it. Get conviction of heart. Change. You don't have to stay like you are. Religion that doesn't change you is just religion. Relationship with Jesus Christ will change the way you live. And there's a huge difference between religion and relationship. And you have to understand that. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the Lord says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with some of your heart." Is that right? That's not right, is it? "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with most of your heart." We're still not quite there, are we? "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Folks, you don't want to have a compartment in your heart where you say, "Lord, you can have this part of my heart and this part of my heart and this, but this over here, Lord, you can't touch that." Folks, it'll destroy a relationship, if there is a relationship. If you can keep that, and you can keep doing it over and over and over, and you don't get convicted in your heart, and you don't change, something seriously wrong. You're probably not born again. You've got religion. You got a lot of knowledge. You can maybe quote 150 verses. But if you can live in sin, knowing that it's sin, you may have nothing but religion. And religion won't save you. I want to encourage you in your private life, in your public life, in your relationships with others, live with integrity of heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," not a Baptist church, Lutheran church, Catholic church, it doesn't matter the name on the door. If you're in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God wants you not only positionally to be the righteousness of God, God wants you day to day, in your heart, in your life, in your private and public life, to be holy. When that's not true, you're entering into the area of the hypocrite. Confess it. Repent of it. Make sure you're born again and live for God's glory. You'll be amazed the difference it'll make. Father, we rejoice that we don't have to stay hypocrites. All of us from time to time slip into sin. But Lord, I've used this before, and I'll use it probably all the time I'm preaching. When a pig falls into the slime, its home, its heart is settled, it's right where it wants to be. But when a lamb falls into the slime, it starts to bleed and cry out for somebody to get it out of there. It's not what they want. Father, help us to realize which of those we are. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.